Hey guys, on this episode, we're talking about the biomechanics of judo. And I was on site with a friend of mine, a colleague, a co-worker, and he talks about biomechanics and kinetic energy as well of the human body. And we were having a conversation because he also does judo. So he was talking about the biomechanics and judo. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It was a lot of information. It was also good storytelling about our classes. And I hope you guys enjoy it. Again, if there's any questions, you know that you can go to attacktheattack360.com and go to the website. You can see all the information there. You can hit the links to Facebook and Instagram. You can even send an email there. And if you have any questions on more info or whatever it is, you know that I'm also doing, if you're in the local San Antonio area, I'm doing women's self-defense classes over at Alamo Ranch yoga and Pilates studio in the Alamo Ranch area. And come on out. You know, the address is on the website. At the same time, I want to give a shout out to Coach Jerome and Coach Patrick because, you know, I'm attending judo classes over at Southtown Judo. And last night was a really good class. Kicked my butt, man. I was so exhausted. But at the same time, I was also restless because I kept thinking of all kinds of techniques and stuff I could have done. Excuse me. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. If there's any questions, please hit me up and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. Again, if you're interested in women's self-defense classes, again, we're over at the Alamo Ranch In Balance Yoga and Pilates Studio. And all the information is on the website, attacktheattack360.com. All right, guys, be safe, be blessed, and watch your 360. Here's the rest of the interview that I did with my buddy Nick. Hey, guys, we're back at it again, Attack the Attack 360 podcast. And I'm here with a buddy of mine, Nick, here at work. He's a fellow judoka at another facility, and at the same time he also has a degree in biomechanics, right?
Yep.
All right, Nick, give a little bit about yourself.
Yep. So hi everyone, Nick Levine. I'm a recent graduate from Texas Women's University, where I studied biomechanics and motor behavior. So technically I'm a kinesiologist, because that's what my degree says. But that specialty is in biomechanics and motor behavior. And so biomechanics is basically physics and engineering principles applied to the human body. So it's kind of putting numbers to how we move.
Gotcha.
Commonly what we do is we utilize motion capture technology. So biomechanics really got started because they wanted to figure out, hey, does a horse run with all 4 feet off the ground at once? So we get a lot of terms from equestrian and like the horse world, a little common connection there. So then basically, I always like to say The Matrix as the movie, where they incorporate CGI, but you know, movies like Avatar, where they incorporate a lot of CGI, where they do motion capture. We do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We utilize the same technology. We just use it for the scientific perspective.
Gotcha.
And then motor behavior is kind of like an umbrella term. And really where my interest lies with that is something called motor control. So how we move, why we move, is that determined on a task, the environment, a combination of everything. So it's kind of the physics behind we move, and then kind of like the brain side, why we move.
Okay.
The most efficient way to move.
Right.
Yep, studied that for quite some time. Feels like it took forever to get done. But yeah, glad to be done and over with that. And during my time in grad school, it kind of took me into judo.
Right. So what? So you're a fellow brown belt, right?
Yep.
Now there's, so that way people can understand, there's 3 levels of brown.
Yes.
Right. So And I think it goes reverse, right? 3, 2, 1?
It definitely goes reverse, yeah.
So I know I'm just got my, you know, I'm a brown belt. I'm a level 3.
Yep.
Right? And you're...
Same, actually.
Level 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got... Where I did my judo journey primarily was at a club called Denton Optimist Judo Club.
Where's that at?
It's in Denton, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And it's a nice club. Yeah. And they have quite a few 6th degree black belts there that I thought was pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the place I'm at right now, we have our primary instructor, and that's at Universal Judo here in San Antonio. And he's a 7th degree black belt, but there's kind of really him, and then the next highest one is, I believe, a 5th degree black belt, and she competed in the Olympics, so she's pretty high up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she tosses me around. It's great. I love telling everybody at work. She's awesome to learn from. But I spent a lot of time there, and I actually started judo at Guy Metzger's club. So that's up in Dallas, and I don't necessarily know where it's at because he moved locations twice, and I don't know where the second location is now. And anyways, I reached out to that club in particular because during grad school, I met this woman, and she did like Muay Thai kickboxing.
Oh,
she
nice.
Did all this stuff.
Yeah.
And she helped me out with a class project that we had. So since she was my connection to martial arts, I said, hey, where do you recommend doing judo? And she's like, hey, we do judo on Saturdays. And I was like, great, perfect. So I started there. Unfortunately, that instructor, he wound up having a heart attack randomly and died.
Oh, damn.
But during that time, I wanted to kind of, I mean, I fell in love with judo. I started to try to take judo purely for self-defense reasons and noticed that I started picking up things faster, and I knew I wanted to start competing, so then I had to start going more often. I had to get more mat time on. And so that's when I found Denton Optimist, which was like, it was like $3 a class.
Oh, wow.
And so would just go there, and I was like, oh, this would be my, you know, supplementary gym, and it just wound up becoming my home gym. And I spent a lot more time there, got a lot of knowledge, and so interesting start to judo. And I think, like me being a bigger dude, so for those who are visually impaired, 6'1", 220, I think they kind of take your time with promotions because they want to make sure you're utilizing technique and you're just not smashing little people into the
Correct.
Ground.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, it's, you're not trying to hurt your partner, right?
Mm.
Guys, we're doing this during our lunch hour. So if you hear us chewing or whatever, just because we're eating our sandwiches so we can do this recording. So no worries, right? But yeah, the whole point of working either with a lower belt or another equal higher belt as you, or even the black belts working with us, right? It's all about a fellowship, right? We're not trying to smash and hurt each other. We're trying to steel sharpen steel, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you
build
work together,
learn.
You build and learn. If there's something that you can say, hey, what is it that I need to fix on? You know, the instructor would tell, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. Or if you're working with a lower belt and they're just so tense or they want to give you a lot of resistance, you're like, hey, we're just working technique, you know? I get that a lot now that I'm going to the Southtown Judo. There's a couple of students there that are like that. And I'm like, okay, you know, I was like, guys, we're just working technique. We're not trying to smash each other.
Right.
You know? And then even when we do randori, you know, it's like, you know, we're there on the ground, we're rolling a little bit. And it's like, hey, guys, you know, it's just until we get into a controlled position. But then it doesn't end up that way. They want to go ahead and go into an arm bar. They want to get a choke. They want to, you know, they want to smash you. And I'm all like, take it easy, guys.
Sometimes I think my brother and I, we call that the warrior spirit. sometimes I think that comes out. But I definitely believe that as you go and develop, you know, you're talking about being tense. It takes a while for, I think, you to fully click on when you're being intense and actively being aware. I think it's also another aspect is you don't necessarily aren't confident, I should say, in your ability to break fall. So with that, you're afraid of falling because you don't do it enough.
Right.
And because you don't do it enough, you're slightly scared, whether it's in the back of your head or not.
Well, I noticed that. Yeah. A lot of places do that. They won't, they'll say, all right, this is how you fall down, but don't really spend the time in warm-ups falling down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when you get to a gym like that, I think doing it before class, getting there a little early, practicing your break falls, it's a good way to get it in and kind of continue to have that skill. And then that way you can focus on the meat and the bread and butter being right. class time.
Gotcha.
But yeah, definitely anybody thinking about judo, just understand you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. And you need to be okay with that.
Yeah. That's for sure, man.
You cannot be scared of falling in judo. And it makes Rondori better, because what I tell people is when you're so tense, you're fighting two people, not one.
Yeah, you're fighting yourself.
Yep, exactly. You're fighting yourself and somebody else.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how good you are, if you're fighting two people versus one.
It's not fun. It's not fun. You end up getting, you know, being so tense, you're getting tired faster.
Not, yeah.
You're trying to do strength with strength. So that means your arms and your upper body will tire a lot faster than your opponent. And then when you're tensed, your opponent could read you a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to be more relaxed, more fluid.
Yep.
And especially if you're just working a throwing technique, right? So just even just working entries, just relax and flow with it. And then when you really execute the throw, that's when, you know, you do it. But it has to be so fluid. You can't be so tense.
Right.
Right.
It works for both parties too.
Right.
So Tori, the one executing the throw, and Uke, the one being thrown in whatever situation. And I think a lot of people also fail to realize, especially when they start out, that Rondori is not fighting.
Right.
Rondori should be like you're walking to your mailbox. And so I'll allude to the Olympian that I've been working with. From time to time, she just briefly got out of town and has come back, and it's great. I love getting tossed around by her because it's so gentle. And judo actually is the gentle
sport. Way, yeah.
So,
until you land.
Well, I say even when you land, if you know how to break fall, you do it correctly.
Yeah, and then you're fine.
Yeah, she got me with Ippon Sayanagi. I rolled right along with her. We got up, and like that's the thing is, it wasn't. She didn't force it. She found a good entry. She got past my defense, cut an angle that I wasn't anticipating, and she got the technique. And I was like, yep, I got. Boom, take the fall. And then we get back up, and we're back at it. It's not butting heads. Physically, yes. Like, she's a little bit smaller than me, stature-wise.
How about height?
That's stature.
That's stature, okay.
Sorry. Simple words. Right. Yeah, so weight-wise, she's a little bit on the heavier division for women, but I think she cuts down for when it's time to compete. But
gotcha.
She's a beast on the ground, too. I think she used to wrestle, and, you know, she has accolades there, too. So I always recommend getting beat up by people who have far better skill than you.
Mm-hmm.
Not being afraid.
Don't be afraid to just get in there.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I hear you on that, because I enjoy doing ground stuff. And there's, at the gym that I'm at, the place is called House of Jiu-Jitsu, right? And so Southtown Judo has a section, or has a small part in that big gym area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, there's a lot of Jiu-Jitsu guys that come over and want to learn how to do Judo, right? So when we get into the actual randori, or the waza, right, part of it, the ground game, the ground grappling, as like last night, one of the instructors, Coach Jerome, he was like, okay, well, you know, we're gonna be on the ground, but we're gonna be on the knees.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get on your back,
mm-hmm.
right? As soon as you get on your back, you lost,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't go into a guard because you lost,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's not the point of the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the exercise is stay kneeling and then try to get your opponent onto their back or onto their shoulder. Mm-hmm. That was the whole point of the exercise. So, of course, when you got all these guys that are in jiu-jitsu coming in and then they're trying to do the ground game and they're actually pulling into the guard mm-hmm. or trying to lay down the side to do a sweep technique, they already lost a match because they're getting on their back or they're getting on their side. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, 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 time out. You already lost. Let's go again. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of learning how or knowing the difference between the two and then just going along with it, you know?
I definitely think that, you know, there's some people claim, okay, BJJ came from judo. Some people said, well, it came from Japanese jiu-jitsu. Whether they're cousins or uncle and nephew, it doesn't right. really matter to me. You know, I have a lot of respect for BJJ, and I think it does a lot of things that are great. But the one thing that I don't necessarily like about BJJ is I think it gets people comfortable just immediately going to the ground.
Going to the ground, right. In a self-defense part, if it's one-on-one, perfect.
Yeah.
Right? But where do you see that nowadays?
Well, it's still even sketchy at that because yeah. you don't know if there are brothers, friends, cousins, babies, mama, whoever is like right behind you.
Right.
You know, I even saw this video clip of this dude who was in a fight with somebody, guy got knocked out, girlfriend's like just trying to cover him up and protect him, and then she winds up getting pistol whipped.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff, it's like, dude, for real? Like, she's not even doing anything. So the point is, though, and the thing that I like about judo is it's you get full score when you take somebody down right. to the ground, but then you want to be standing. Like, that's what they kind of teach you.
Right, you want to stay standing.
Yeah. Now, on the ground, it's a little bit different. I like that you are given different options. You can win by pin. You can win by submission. Because with pins, you can get off somebody.
Right.
It's establish a control position and then get up if you need to.
Right.
So I think that's where judo kind of excels at in the philosophical aspect of the right. ground game.
No, don't get me wrong. I like that, right? Because I like to point to where if I go down to the ground, I want to be able to get into control position, do a damn choke, or do an arm bar,
mm-hmm.
or a wrist lock,
mm-hmm.
right? Any type of joint manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I was at this point to where, okay, and I'll admit it, right? A yellow belt, a little bit heavier set than I am, took me down and got me into a Kosakotani, the mm-hmm. scarf wrap, right? And I was trying to get him off. I was trying to throw him off me. I was trying to, you know, inch out of it and try to get control of the back. I couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't. So I tapped and I said, okay, let's start again. But because I know that he's very, how can I say, he uses his weight a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have to change my mindset. I have to change my game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him on top of me. I'm 230, right? I'm 5'10", I'm 230. And I keep thinking that I'm big, but no, this guy's heavier than me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so finally I just say, screw this. I'm not going to do the whole ground game. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick choke mm-hmm. or a quick wrist lock or a quick arm lock. You know, I'm doing something that will prevent me from getting my back down to the ground,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that ended up working in my favor, but at the same time, it's like okay, you're not willing to practice something different. You just want to try and what's the word I'm looking for? Prove something that you're stronger or yeah. you're heavier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's that. It's like, come on, guy. And it's like, let's work together. You know?
Yeah, but he's yellow belt, and you know, I think, you know, from hearing your stories, we've done plenty of different martial arts. We've talked about this.
Right.
Egos don't last.
No, they don't.
I think regardless of whatever martial art or
whatever it is, if it's in traditional
yeah.
karate, Goju Ryu, Muay Thai, whatever, you always got that one overzealous student
yeah.
that wants to try and prove something until they get hurt or
mm-hmm.
until they get proven that, hey, you need to calm down, you need to control, you need to listen, and you need to work something different because if not, you're not going to improve.
Yeah.
You know?
I've had plenty of experiences. I like working judo on BJJ guys because they have different perspectives and stuff like that. So when we'd start in BJJ class, I went for about a year. It's a lot of fun because I kept getting myself like in arm bars or chokes and in judo, and I'm like, okay, I need to get better at this. And it's a lot of fun. It's great. But when we'd start out in sparring at the end of class, I'm like, hey, you want to do, you know, on the ground or you want to do standing? And they're like, okay, we'll do standing. And then you get them in a throw and you just have them in case katami. And I like really just putting pressure on the lower part of the ribs.
Right.
And like every time they exhale, I'm like, I'm going to take that much space.
A little bit more space at a time.
A little bit more space. And I mean, people have tapped to just that alone.
Right.
So it goes to how powerful just even pin positions can be. But more importantly, I think what it really does, and to kind of tie this in, is I've seen people come into that class, and this is like maybe their first time in that class.
Right.
And maybe they've done some wrestling. This is a great example. Wrestlers are very stubborn. I know because I wrestled in high school.
So you're stubborn. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Very much so. You have to be some kind of stubbornness to get through grad school. So I think whether it's through spite or any other particular reason is regardless of the situation. But anyways, this guy was like, hey man, I wouldn't do this particular hold or move. And they go, why? Okay, because I would do this. And classic reply, nah, you couldn't do that.
Right.
Okay. And then you do it to him. And so this is kind of like where I learned, hey, you have to also take care of people. So I threw this guy for Uchimata, and Uchimata is basically a large forward throw.
Right.
Where you go underneath them and kind of elevate them with your hip, but you keep your leg nice and extended so it's straight, and they come over your shoulder, and boom, they should hit the ground, and you're great. Like,
right.
So I did it. I hit them. I got him with the technique, but it wasn't the best it could be at the time. And I wound up getting airborne with him. He hit the ground, and then like the way that we were positioned, because I lost grip mid-throw,
right?
Which is why you should always work on your grip.
Yep.
So he hit first, and then my hip actually hit him right in his cheekbone.
Oh wow, in his cheekbone.
Yeah. So my hip hurt for a week, and I'm like,
how was his cheekbone?
Not my concern at that point. No, his cheekbone was okay, but he never showed up back to BJJ classes again.
For a while, huh?
Not for a while,
Wow, like, wow.
I've seen plenty of people quit because they think, you know, that's, I think, the biggest factor between judo and BJJ. People don't like getting thrown into the ground.
No.
When we're in BJJ practice, I made a few people quit because of that. Now I've taken care of them with the falls.
Right.
Like that was an odd case. And this dude, to be fair, like this guy then tried to like slam me up against the wall and do all this other crazy stuff. And I was
right.
Like, man, you can do that if you want. I'm just gonna go ahead and get you in a guillotine choke. But you know, plenty of people I've made quit because I'd ask them, like, hey, I practice judo. You want to start out on the feet or on the ground? Yeah. Okay, we'll do it on the feet, and then they get thrown.
They're not used to that.
Yeah.
You know, they're used to jumping and pulling you into a guard. They're used to
pulling guard.
Huh?
Pulling guard.
It's just plain and simple. Yeah, pulling guard or going into a flying arm bar, right? Unless they're really skilled at doing that. Because that happened to me one time at a tournament. I was like. I was in my mid-30s and we were doing a competition, and I remember this guy, he like a lot smaller than me, you know, he had to be like 5'5". He was a tiny guy, weighed only like 125, and here I am, you know, 5'10", and at that time I was 220, right? I gained 10 pounds now, but you know, it's like I in my mindset I was like, dude, I'm gonna just grab him and just take him down hard. Well, this dude jumped up right in when I was in mid-throw, and he just flung his leg around and did an armbar. And so I couldn't throw him. I mean, I went the opposite way. But because he did a really good technique, but the control wasn't there. So I hyperextended my elbow, and you heard a loud pop.
Yep.
And I was like, it sucked because there was kids around and I ended up yelling a curse word, you know, because I heard the pop and I was in pain. But you know what? It was like lesson learned, you know? Yeah. It's like it took me six months to heal. And I was like, man, it was just one of those where like, okay, never underestimate anybody. And it was a lesson learned, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to get into a little bit of the biomechanics, mm-hmm. right? So what would be let's just start off with the basic, right? What would be the basic biomechanics for judo? Because isn't there a book on that as well?
There is, and I'll get you the name of it again. I know I told you about it before,
but right.
I don't want to misspeak to it. So it's a good book. I can tell it's translated from a different language to English. So some of the sentence structure and flow doesn't necessarily go as well, but it's still a great book. While I'm getting this pulled up again, I make things real simple. I love judo because when I think of judo, I think it's like applied physics.
Mm-hmm.
Two kind of big things that I always think about. One is you got two circles, big circle and little circle.
Right.
Your goal is to be the little circle.
Okay.
The big circle is the one being thrown.
Gotcha.
So.
See, I didn't look at it that way.
It's plenty fun. There's a few people who've kind of told me that, but I already had this thought when I was sitting here practicing.
Right.
So you take, for example, Ogoshi, which is a large right. hip throw. You coming in, you're the smaller circle. You're creating a small circular motion, whereas the person being thrown has a much larger radius.
Right.
While the throw is being performed. So that's one thing I try to think of, and that, it, to me, really comes into play when you're practicing just kind of like the shadow boxing variation of judo, where you can just practice your footsteps.
Your footsteps, your entries.
Yeah,
right.
Where you don't need anybody. Now, the name of the book that, I love it. It's called Advances in Judo Biomechanics Research, Modern Evolution on Ancient Roots. And let's see, who's this by? It's by a bunch of people. David Finch and by Thomas Zahoyi.
Okay.
IJF Archive. It's a great book. I love it. I recommend it to people. But biomechanics of judo is basically also manipulation of center mass and center gravity. So what that means is how you are oriented.
Right.
You can have a singular point that describes all the properties of your body, this location. And being human, we can move our center of gravity both inside and outside
okay.
our body. Now, if you were to have a pen or a marker or something, you can find the center of gravity by like being able to hold it up with your fingertip.
Right.
And if it falls off one side or another, you can find that sweet spot to where it just maintains balance.
Gotcha.
That's roughly where the center of gravity or center of mass is.
Okay.
Now, we use these terms interchangeably. I think center of gravity differs when it's not in a uniform magnetic field. So we just kind of say center mass, center of gravity, because
right.
we're here on Earth and our magnetic field is pretty much stable.
Right.
Mostly. Anyways. So the other concept we're going to talk about is base of support. And so base of support is kind of the contact area within the ground. NFL linemen, for example, get into a three-point stance.
Okay.
Their base of support is that finger, that hand that's down on the ground,
front, yeah.
and then the 2 feet behind them. And as long as that center mass is in that base of support, they're going to be stable.
Right.
As long as you start to push that one way or another, if it's within that base of support, and which is just the perimeter between all the contact points,
right.
You just draw lines, they're going to be stable. They won't fall off balance. But then you start changing that up, get them into maybe a two-point stance. Like wide receivers, then that base of support is now smaller because it's just the perimeter.
It's just the 2 feet, yeah.
So the way that I think about judo is kind of those two fronts. Manipulation of center mass and base support, and then the big circle, little circle kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Now you can start making things definitely more fancy, talking about coupling forces and torques, and I mean,
right.
You know, judo is all about torque, but how we move is about torque, which is just rotational force. So you need to access a rotation and something called a moment arm, and then your line of action, aka your force.
Okay.
So your axis of rotation is where somebody rotates about. Moment arm is perpendicular distance to the line of action, aka the force.
Okay.
That's where, like, oftentimes when people talk about kazushi, the off balancing,
mm-hmm.
you're creating that torque because then you're about to rotate.
Gotcha.
So it's all about rotations and circles and all that stuff, but I think the best thing that, you know, students start out with learning is a sotogari.
Oh, sotogari?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that really just hits upon base of support really quick. So when you're pinning down the sleeve side arm, you pin the elbow down so that you're basically shifting their center of mass
right.
towards that back edge of their base of support.
Mm-hmm.
And then you step forward and you reap that out. So then you take away where that center of gravity is.
That center
is
of gravity is the foot, the back foot.
Yep.
Yeah.
You take that back foot out. Now their base of support is that one foot that's out in front. And so then now a torque is introduced, and that's why
they fall back.
They fall backwards.
Gotcha.
So
it's, I mean, if you think about it, right, and I'm going to try and simplify this. Talking about torque and turning and all that, it's similar to Taekwondo's kicking. Okay, so if you think of a round kick coming from the back leg, all right, and a round kick is, you know, it's like that, it's like circular kick. The best way to describe it, look at Van Damme. Van Damme does a bunch of round kicks,
yeah,
right?
So
if he's coming from the back leg in Taekwondo, they believe that torque would be the upper body moving towards the back end while their back leg is moving forward. That would be the torque,
yeah.
Right? To also have that power. Versus in Muay Thai, what they do is that they go that back leg with a round kick, they follow through. They will not torque. All the power's in the hip. So they're following all the way through their kick versus doing this motion, the twisting motion, right? Instead of the upper body going one way and the lower body going the other, they're all going in one direction. So it's in judo, the off balance would, or the taking away the center of gravity is throwing your opponent off balance, the push-pull method.
Yeah, right? Essentially that gets their center of gravity moving
okay.
within the base of support. And your goal is to kind of fit in where that kind of...
Where that goes.
Where the easiest way for it to go is. And
okay.
that's like judo done well. That's why we have 42 techniques that you eventually wind up learning, is because depending on how they move, like judo done right is very easy. Like we said, it's a gentle sport. And it's about letting your opponent throw themselves. If you get somebody moving around enough, they will move in a direction that you can throw them. Even if it's a preferred direction that they have.
Right.
You may have to do a different entry into it, but people can work themselves into a throw.
Now, does those techniques that you were talking about, this big circle, small circle, and all that, does that also work when we're doing sacrifice throws?
Mm-hmm, very much so.
Okay.
So I was trying to think of it. I know Teguruma is hand technique. What am I thinking of? I do one that's sumigayashi.
Okay.
I like to do sumigayashi because oftentimes I'm fighting people who are smaller than me. They know I like uchimata, so what are they going to do? They're going to kind of hang on me and push their hips back because people think, oh, I don't want to get thrown, so I'm going
right.
to push my hips back and try to get a low stance. All right, cool. So what I do then is reach up, grab over the top. I grab basically as deep as I can, and then I swing underneath them.
Right.
And then as we're coming down, plant that foot.
And then they
and
go
launch
over.
Them. Yeah.
Right.
And so it even happens in Newaza as well, big
right.
circles, little circles. So you have a concept. I was explaining this to somebody else. The north and south position.
Okay.
The name kind of eludes me right now in the actual judo term, but basically north-south hold, this guy had me in, you know, and he's just all arms holding me, thinking right. He has it locked down. And so then all I did was basically just twisted my way out of it.
Right. You're basically, the way I was taught was that if the person on top, and he's got his belly and he's smashing your face, mm-hmm. basically, right? And he's mm-hmm. he's using his arms to hold down your hips.
Yep.
And his legs are sprawled out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the way I was learning it was where you would move your lower body
mm-hmm.
to try and be in line with one of those legs.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that alignment, you do basically like a gator roll.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
That's okay. Basically the same. That's the escape, essentially, right. That I think most people get taught. The only thing is you just have to lock down that side you're rolling to,
right.
Up arm wise. So, and that's what I did, is I got two arms on one, and then rotated out from it. And he was like, well, how did that work so much? Cause I was like, you know, I was putting all this into you. And that's when I started explaining kind of the physics side of it.
Right.
So you have this thing called, axis of rotation, but then you also have what's called moment of inertia. So, probably heard of Isaac Newton's three laws. The first law is the law of inertia. Body at rest stays at rest, or body in constant motion stays at motion until another force externally acts onto you. So what does that mean, right? Like, let's talk about this in English. The more mass you have, the harder it is for you to move linearly. And then the more the mass is distributed away from the axis of rotation, the more resistance to angular motion you have. So how does this relate to that escape? I pulled his body into closer to where I was going to rotate him about. So I was going to rotate him about the long axis of the body.
Right.
And if I can make his mass and his arms and legs get smaller, closer to that,
right,
he has less resistance to angular motion.
Gotcha.
So once I move that arm in, spun him around, because he had less inertia, he had less angular resistance to motion, and gotcha. I was creating the torque that his body couldn't withstand.
He couldn't withstand, right. He couldn't even stabilize himself.
Yeah, so
right.
Using, even if you don't have to be proficient in physics, like, I mean, taking a general physics class is great, like, just do that to understand basic concepts. And once you start doing that, you can understand why these moves work, just in a different perspective.
Right.
I mean, I think people understand it functionally. BJJ class was great because I think people understood anatomy very functionally.
Right.
Okay, so I have long arms, long legs, short torso. If you did a Kimura on me, you wouldn't have to bring my arm down as much because I already have naturally long levers
right.
that are going to basically act as a different lever type system.
Uh-huh.
When torque is applied to my wrist, that somebody with shorter arms, like, you're gonna really have to crank
right,
down.
Right, I got it. Yeah.
So, I think they understood anatomy on a very just kind of natural level. Whereas, like, you practice judo enough, you'll understand physics on kind of a right. very practical level as well. It will just help you appreciate it in a different perspective.
Gotcha.
So
when we talk about center of gravity,
mm-hmm.
right? So each person, right? Everyone's different, you know, yeah. like you're 6'1", I'm 5'10", mm-hmm. someone is 5'5",
yeah.
right? The best way to describe center of gravity would be their belt.
Yes.
Right? Their hips.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone, like, say for instance, you going against me, you're 6'1", and I'm 5'10",
mm-hmm.
you would have to squat down lower to get below my center of gravity to take me down, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
That definitely is how it works. Like, that's why with lower people going up against bigger people, they should learn ogoshi. They should learn. They should let big people come in on them.
Right.
Because, you know, that's the idea. So this is a perfect example of kind of application and thought process. I'm going into this tournament. I competed in novice at the time. I was a green belt, so I competed in novice and I competed in kind of the seniors. So get done with novice, I mean, blew that dude out of the water, okay, fine, whatever. get into the seniors, and now I'm going against Brown and Black. Well, I went up against a 6'4", like, junior national champ, and, you know, I'm looking at him, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, he's taller than me. So, as a tall dude, what do I like to do? What's my preferred grip? Well, I'm going to reach over the top. I'm going to get the behind the collar, behind the neck collar grip, or I'm going to reach over the shoulder. Then I'm going to pull somebody in, do my big forward hip throw, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
My preferred technique is Uchimata, but it could be whatever forward the hip throw from that grip.
Right.
So I said, okay, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to bow in. He's going to do that. I'm going to let him do that. I'm going to let him get that tall grip. I'm going to let him pull me into him, but I'm going to continue to step with him. And then when I break his hips, I'm going to take him back for Ippon and do, it's not Teguruma. Why do I keep thinking Teguruma? You have to excuse me.
No, you're fine.
I'm close to my 2 weeks post-concussion.
I got you. I know.
And anyways, I think it's Yoko Wakari. So I'm going to take him back. I'm going to basically slide my leg behind him, take him back. His hips and his back hit the ground flat, and I land on the top of him, kind of in side control.
Right.
So that was great in theory, because he, you know, me being a little dude compared to him, my center of gravity, my center of mass is lower, so he would have to really pull me up to get that. It worked out really great in my mind. And we go out there, and it starts, we bow, he does exactly what I want. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to take him down. The problem is I met his front hip, the hip closest to him, not the furthest hip.
Right.
So when you're going to do a hip check and break somebody's hips, don't think about hitting the hip closest to you. Think about hitting the far hip.
Right.
But this was a lesson that I learned very quickly, because I just went out and performed a really nice break fall and got up and bowed off the mat very quick. It was a very nice, it was a very nice match. But that's where, you know, that's where losing comes in, right? Like, I had the idea in mind. I knew he had the throw as soon as I hit that front hip. I was like, oh, no, wrong hip.
Yep. Yeah.
So you can have a lot of good successes in judo and a lot of really good breakfall techniques.
Right. Yeah, because you learn them, man. You have to.
You have to, because I got up, got off the mat, and was able to go to practice and work on that. Work on hitting that far hip.
So when he's talking about hitting that far hip, right, guys who've practiced judo, who know, who when they're doing the entries for any hip throws, any Ippon Sienagis, anything, when they're turning to throw your opponent to check them, you put the palm of your hand and you put it on the far end of the hip, so it prevents them from doing an entry. Mm-hmm. I've done it. I've been successful. I can't really catch that outer hip, especially with some of the guys. So I always make it a point to go for the center of the back, center of the hip,
mm-hmm.
Or the lower back, should I say. And that works out pretty well for me to do reversals.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it sets you up well.
Yeah, it sets you up well to do a good takedown and whatnot, reversal.
I think the big throw and the big hip reversal is called Ushirogoshi, and that's kind of what I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you imagine you're doing like... The hip movement is either that of the kettlebell swing or like a power clean,
mm-hmm.
But you kind of bump their hip, and then as they're kind of midair, you switch your hips down and you basically pile drive them
down to the ground,
like into the mat. So that's a skill that I'm working on.
So are you actually going for tournaments? Are you trying to train and get back into tournaments or what?
Yeah, actually. I love competing. I didn't think I would. But like I said, I want to start out judo as purely self-defense.
Right.
At this moment in time. And notice I started getting stuff other than my fellow classmates. And I was like, hey, let me go test this. And I definitely do want to compete. Now, I told my wife that I wouldn't compete in 22 because still kind of getting used to mm-hmm. fatherhood.
Yeah, you just became a father, right?
Yep. It seems like it was so short of a time ago. But yeah, He's now, I guess, yep, 17 months today.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's big, but he's little. So, like, he's big for his age, but mentally, he's still that little,
right, you know, 17-month-old.
Still a baby, yeah. Yeah. He's dope. I love that dude. But I told my wife that I wouldn't. I made her that promise. I needed to finish up grad school and get a... Well, I already had a full-time gig, but get kind of like my PhD level position, so to speak, which doing a postdoc, which is basically like, hey, cool, you spent all that time in grad school, but you still don't have experience, so get more experience.
Get more experience, yeah.
But at least I'm getting paid, you know, as opposed to grad school.
Right.
Which, you know, whatever. But yeah, so I told her I wouldn't compete in 22, but... when I defended, basically, like, the next day, I was like, I'm competing in 23.
Yeah. It's just around the corner, man.
It really is.
It really is. It's, yeah. I mean, we're just the beginning of December, so if you think about it, you know,
I
next
still
month.
Remember March, yep. I still remember March when I defended, and I was like, oh, December seems so far away, and then I blinked, and it's December.
It's here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no intentions on competing. How old are you?
I'm 32.
Man, yeah. I remember in my 30s, I was in my prime, right? I mean, that's where I dropped down to 195. Mm-hmm. I was doing judo. I was doing mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. I was doing all kinds of shit, weaponry. And then traditional weapons, right? And so doing all that, I was in my 30s, and I was like, fuck, I felt like I was in my prime. You know, I was getting up, running 2.5-3 miles every morning, and working out during my lunch hour, and then going and training every day for 6 days out of the week.
Yeah,
I felt good, and I did the tournament thing, and I didn't want to. My instructors wanted me to do karate tournaments because they wanted trophies, mm-hmm, for their facility. Mm-hmm. So I did it. Judo, I didn't really step into the judo competitions. They had in-house competitions for judo, which, you know, I did okay, because I already knew a lot of the students that were there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Honestly, it's hard as fighting your...
It is.
...fellow...
It is. It's hard, because
y'all train together.
You don't want to hurt each other, but yet, you know, you want to win.
Oh, you know? Well, you know. Some people do, some people don't.
Yeah, it's... Well, yeah. Some people are just, you know...
Yeah, but you were saying, you wanted to do karate tournaments, but...
Yeah, I did all that, and... I'm sorry. But at that point, it was more like, okay, I'm not getting any younger, right? I'm a single parent, you know, and if I get hurt, I can't work because of my job, right? I don't have a sit-down office job or anything like that. I'm actually... I
feel personally attacked here.
No, you're not being attacked. I'm just saying there's different...
Purely joking.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, like being a fabricator for what I do, if I hurt my wrist or hurt or get injured in any way, I can't work.
Yep.
You know? Versus where I'm sure that... Like for you, like you said, you're going on your 2 weeks on a concussion that you just had, right? Mm-hmm. But you were still able to do stuff from home or whatever, right?
It's been, for sure, like anybody who says concussions, like, oh, that person's not tough. Like, just shut up. Don't ever listen to that person ever.
Yeah, again, no, that shit hurts.
Yeah, my first one, practice your break falls. You can't predict everything. It's a contact sport.
It is.
Like... things are bound to happen. It's my first in 5 years, so like, just let that be. It's okay. I think in the grand scheme of things, how many times both wrestling and judo, how much hours I put into the mat for this to be my first time, like, I'm, you know, hashtag blessed on that one,
right?
So going with that, yeah, depending on the type of job you have, like, judo is hard on your body.
It is. It's really hard.
Practicing your break falls helps build you up. You know, there's also something called Wolf's Law. Wolf's Law is basically bones respond to forces placed on them.
Mm-hmm.
practicing foot techniques. People like to do Muay Thai shin kicks as opposed to a foot sweep. And so... My shins
are
beat to shit and are being remodeled right now from that. So that's Wolf's Law in practice.
Right.
Because that's how the force is being placed on your body. So man, when I got done with my one tournament, is all it took for me to, you know, learn that Rondori is sparring. This is the fun time, as opposed to Rondori equals fighting, was when I had to fight seven people in one day.
Right.
I woke up the next day, you know, I've been doing judo for a while. You fight seven people in one day, I felt like I got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Like, I was stiff and yeah. everything. Oh, man.
Every time after a tournament, you know, I did some tournaments at one of the dojos to where they did in school tournaments. Mm-hmm. So it was like they had several locations, and then they invited other schools to come to that, to our school, right?
Yeah.
But where we did kata, we did point sparring, mm-hmm. we did grappling, and then we did judo, and then we even did what we called jukumite, which is a freestyle fight, mm-hmm. basically cage fighting without the cage, mm-hmm. right? And then, of course, you know, you just have gloves and shin guards. That's it. Mm-hmm. No headgear, no nothing. So I remember signing up and doing almost everything, right? Including weapons or mm-hmm. even breaking boards and bricks and shit like that. I did everything. And at the end of the day, I just felt dead. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, like you said, getting hit by a truck, you know, it all adds up. Even just grappling mm-hmm. in 1 hour. Right, so it was like even last night, this morning it was so hard to even make it to work on time.
Yeah, I think you can be in the best shape of your life, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna go grapple somebody, I'm gonna go wrestle with them, and there is a different type of conditioning.
It is, it is, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love working out, I love kettlebells, love doing all sorts of stuff that gets my heart rate jacked up, and you think it's gonna be, you're right. ready to go over, you're gonna do, you know, work on anaerobic energy storage, basically, is the best way I can put it. And you get out there and you wrestle with somebody and you're like, yep, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
30 seconds in, you're dying.
I tell you, it's rough. It's a whole different breed when mm-hmm. it comes to doing judo and jiu-jitsu and, yeah. you know, especially just that, just those two alone. I mean, you're like, and I'm again, you know, like I did class last night, and so my fingers, even from grabbing, you know, you're mm-hmm. grabbing the gis and all that, and you're pulling and you're jerking and whatever it is, your fingertips, you know, just the joints in your fingers, mm-hmm. dude, it's hard. It's like I need to keep stretching out my hands throughout the day, you know. Yep. So,
but I think that's the, you know, what you're talking about, the different breed. I think that's definitely, honestly, the reason why I love judo as much as I do. Mm-hmm. I think the people that stick around, and regardless of any martial art,
right.
I'm going to keep it specific to judo just because it's familiar, is that you find out what people are like. I know we've kind of talked on this before.
Yeah, you know who's going to be, you know, the bully of the class. You yeah. know who's going to be the one that needs more encouragement.
Right.
You know, the one that's really working at it to achieve something. Yeah.
Yeah. When you spar with people, and I feel this way, when you spar with them, you find out who people truly are.
Right.
And in a much more meaningful connection than, you know, we're sitting here having a discussion right now.
Right.
I just think you find out who you are as a person. Like, this is with across any sport, but I think judo helps you outside of a sport setting because
right.
of, like, some of the foundational aspects that it's kind of designed around, or a lot of the principles that are invoked. So one that we talked about, the manipulation of center gravity, center mass, that falls along the lines of maximum efficiency, minimum effort.
Right.
And then the other one is kind of mutual welfare and benefit. And that's, you know, I can only get better at judo while somebody else is kind of helping me out get better.
Right.
And so I need to take care of them. And like bowing to each other, hey, thank you for the opportunity to learn, not to win.
To learn.
To learn.
Yeah, it's just a mutual respect.
Yeah.
You know? Man, we've been going at it for a while. I know we didn't really get into a lot of much that we wanted to talk about. But, you know, maybe later on, you know, a couple weeks from now or a month, whatever, we can do a part two to this. You know, get more into the whole biomechanics of it. I mean, at least you gave the basics, you know, which is true, because a lot of people don't really understand that there's a lot of biomechanics in any type of martial art, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the way you described it for judo, the basic part of it, that was, it was awesome. And hopefully, you know, you guys that are listening, you know, if you have to, listen to it again so you can so you can retain, because I know I'll be listening to it again.
Well, feel free to, I don't know, bug you somehow, ask questions, and definitely don't mind trying to answer those as well.
Yeah, you guys, you know the website, go to attacktheattack360.com. You'll take you to the website. You can send me an email on there. You can go to attacktheattack360@gmail.com. It's a direct email. You can ask me any more questions, and then I'll talk to Nick here, and we can do our best to both answer your questions on any information that you want to know about judo and the biomechanics of judo. Again, if you go to the website, it'll take you to the links to my Facebook and Instagram. I do have some video and pictures of last night's class. One of the guys was doing all the recording while we're in there on the mats. So yeah, go ahead and check it out. Southtown Judo. They're inside the House of Jiu-Jitsu there in downtown. And you're training at where? Universal?
Yep, Universal Judo. Don't even ask me about cross streets or anywhere.
just say Universal Studio. Judo.
New to town.
Okay. All right, guys. Be safe, be blessed, and watch your 360. We're out.